This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, the mercy of Allah and His blessings on this 8th day of Muharram 1441, corresponding to Sunday the 8th of September 2019. And once again, through the mercy and blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have been afforded this opportunity to be with you on the Q&A program. And a very warm welcome to the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar in the Durban and Pietermaritzburg region, as well as to the esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba Online, Voice of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and to you, the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM in the East Rand. Alhamdulillah, once again, we are really honored that Mufti Saab has been with us here in Durban, and for the Muharram tour, Mufti Saab had started the tour with the discourses at the Varulam Masjid. And thereafter, Mufti Saab continued with the programs, and there's still a program tonight. We'll tell you more about that during the course of this program. And the Ashura night program tomorrow night is going to be at the Avondale Musalla, and that's going to be after Maghrib. Alhamdulillah, we're very honored to have Mufti Saab in studio here with us. Normally, Mufti Saab is always at the main studio in Lanesha, but Alhamdulillah, we're indeed very honored. Mufti Saab is here with us at the Al Ansar studio, and Alhamdulillah, one of the reasons that we are today, inshallah, that we will be blessed with Mufti Saab's presence. Hazrat Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Hafiz Wadi, and we welcome all the listeners of Radio Al Ansar International, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Barakallahu feekum.
Mufti Saab, we would like to have clarity on the issue of the night of Ashura. The 10th night is on Monday night. Is this the night that we spend on our families and treat them to the best, or is it Tuesday night?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man wassa'a ala iyalihi yawma ashura, wassa'a allahu sa'ira sanatihi. That whosoever increases the risk for his family members on the night, on the day of Ashura, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will increase the sustenance for that person throughout the year. So yeah, in South Africa, remember it is on Monday night, and Tuesday is the auspicious day of Ashura. So all your husbands and fathers, inshallah, in your home, there's no need to go to restaurants or hotels and so forth. And there, inshallah, you just have a nice little meal, and inshallah, with this intention. Or it could be you just give them some extra allowance for your beloved wife, your beloved children, grandchildren, parents, siblings, and so forth. Remember, this hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, mentioned in Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban, and is reported by Abdullah al-Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu anhu, and various companions and sahaba radiallahu anhu. When we study Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimahullah, who was the outstanding teacher of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, he states, Jarrabnahu fawajadnahu kadhalik. For 50 years and so he said, we tried it, and this is how it used to be. So it shows that this is something acceptable. And if you want the reference of it, open Lataiful Ma'arif by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah. So all the husbands, all the fathers, grandparents, inshallah, let us be a bit magnanimous. Jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. Whosoever has a magnanimous heart, Almighty Allah will elevate your rank and status as well and grant you much rizq as well, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, the sister says that she was late for Sehri this morning, and whilst having her suhoor or the Sehri, she heard the azan and she continued to fast. Please comment on this, Mufti Sahib.
Obviously, that fast will not be valid, more so in countries and places like ours, where we wait for 5, 10, 15 minutes after the Sehri time ends, and then the Fajr Adhan goes. So you were eating well in Fajr time. So today's fast is not valid, O Kala, O Masi, O Auntie, or the brother, whoever it is. And remember, just keep one qadha fast, and that will be compulsory according to the Hanafi school. The Shafi'is, Hanbalis, and them say, if you break a nafil fast, or there's some mix-up regarding it, then qadha is not compulsory when it comes to nafil fast. Both parties have the dalail, and that is why it is so important to study fiqh and jurisprudence. When we went to ask Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, today a person is fasting, suddenly guests came or what have you, then that person broke his or her fast, he will say, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, one qadha only is compulsory. Dalil and evidence, wala tubtilu a'malakum, do not nullify your actions. When we went to ask Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad and them, rahimahullah, they said no. From the start, it was not compulsory or mandatory. And Quran Kareem states, ma alal muhsinina min sabil. The person is a muhsin, is just doing a good action which is voluntary. So there is no compulsion upon him to make the qadha. So it shows both big sides, they use the Quran Sharif. So we say, wallahu a'lam, Almighty Allah knows best. I follow the Hanafi school, so I have to make qadha. If I'm following the Shafi'i school, then qadha is not compulsory.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, someone that is very, very close to all of us is not well at the moment. Besides medical treatment, what else can one do?
Remember that always try and read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow, and inshallah read the 4 kuls and read the manzil, and inshallah Ayatul Kursi, and inshallah Almighty Allah will grant complete shifa. Similarly, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Dawu mardakum bi sadaqa. For those people who are ill in your family, friends, and Muslim ummah, give out charity on their behalf. So in that way, that will attract the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will grant them cure. We make dua that Almighty Allah grants all our brothers, sisters who are ill in all parts of the world, Jannatul, Almighty Allah grants them complete shifa.
Ameen.
And those who passed away, I just heard this morning, very, very tragic news. Our brother Suhail Desai, and you know that in an accident, 26 years old, he passed away. His wife just gave birth about 10 days ago, I believe. So look at that. Now the child will grow up as yatim. Almighty Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus and grant the family Sabre Jameel. So that is what we need to beg Almighty Allah. The brother who's sick, or sister who's sick, or the family, everyone should read abundantly, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. And we also make dua, Allahumma shfihi shifa'an kamila, la yugadiru saqama. Ya Allah, that completely give them shifa and a speedy recovery.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, a lady gave birth about 12 days ago and her husband had passed away today. How do you calculate the iddat?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, Arba'ata Ashhurin wa Ashra, which means, Matt, which means that with the day the person passed away, the time the person passed away, from that time, whether it is English calendar, Gregorian calendar, or Islamic calendar, you count 130 days, 130 days, and that will be the expiry of the iddah. And you, the widow, remember during that duration, you cannot wear new clothes, you can't apply henna, mehndi, and you can't be wearing, using your jewelry. So all these are laws on which there is consensus. Yes, if the lady is expecting and pregnant, then another verse will come into effect, and that is Surah 65, verse number 4. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. That if the lady is expecting, then whether it is the iddat of talaq, or the iddat of talaq is divorce, or of wafat, wafat means the death, then whatever time she gives birth, whether it's after 1 week, 1 month, or 6 months, so that will be the expiry of the iddat. So Almighty Allah has mentioned it very clearly. وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَن يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. Surah 65, verse number 4. So that are the rulings regarding that issue. Count from the day and the time the person passed away, 130 days.
Mufti Saab, our next question, is there such a concept as marital rape in Islam, Mufti Saab?
Many a time this ummah is so overwhelmed and overawed by the Western currency, by the Western, you understand, you know, thought and thinking and everything else. So the Western culture, so they start thinking like them. The name is Bilal, but Bilal start thinking about Bali. Oh, the person's name is Maryam, and Maryam start thinking like Mary and so forth. So that is not what Islam teaches us. So in the Western system, they will tell you that the husband raped his wife and so forth and so on. Islam does not have that. What will Islam say? Islam will say husband and wife, remember, they need to be close to one another. It is not a dictatorship, it is a partnership. And look at the example the Quran Sharif gave. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. You are the clothing of one another. So how the clothing bring us comfort, how the clothing are attached to the body. Similarly, husband and wife need to give comfort to one another, need to embrace one another. And it's not that the bodies are only united, the hearts have to be united. So it can't happen in Islam that the wife says no, that, you know, that the husband raped me and so forth. Yes, the Islam will say that oral, anal, all that is haram. And Islam will say that while she is in the menses, all that is haram. Surah 2, verses 222, verse 223. So all that is clearly enshrined in the noble Quran. So there's no real concept of that. The problem comes about from another issue. In the Western world today and democracies, they want to tell us about gender equality. That is, the male and female are equal. How can you be equal in all aspects? Can the husband give birth? Can the husband breastfeed? Can he be pregnant? Today, modern day tennis, you see, and you see the hypocrisy of the Western standards there. The men will play the best of five, and the women will play best of three. So remember, even today, they cannot bring about equality in all walks of life. So it shows that they also have to confess and admit that they also don't have equality across the spectrum. So Islam says, as far as our reward goes, we'll be equal. But as far as our roles and responsibilities goes, we are different. And that is why the world will function with harmony and peace.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Saab. My father is on the machines or the life support machine in hospital, and they said he has a 96% of passing away and only 4% of survival. If he does survive, he will be dependent on us. What do you think will be the correct thing for us to do, or should we switch off the machine or wait?
My advice to the family will be, medically, if you can't do anything, then remember that read the following dua, which Rahmatul Alameen Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Allahumma in kanatil hayatu khayran lana fa khayran lahu fa ahyihi wa in kanatil wafatu khayran lahu fa tawaffahu. Ya Allah, if life is better for him, give him life. Ya Allah, if death is better, mort is better, then give him the death. And the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustada Ahmad. Secondly, Islamically, if you switch off the ventilator, the life support, then there'll be no sin upon you. But you, the senior members in the family, discuss the issue with your mother, discuss the issue with other brothers, sisters, siblings and family members. Try and reach consensus and unity and take a decision. Just for what it's worth, for you, my brother, so it might give you some consolation. I did it with my own brother. So remember, there is no sin upon you. When the doctors tell you they can't do anything medically, you can ask the biggest professors, doctors. So watch, why should we continue? Leave everything to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Tell the family, stay at home. Everybody engage themselves in tilawat of Quran, in dua. And remember, when the person passes away, so then also you read Quran Sharif, Iqra Yasin ala mawtakum. Read Surah Yasin for the deceased. Read other parts of the noble Quran. The hadith of Yasin is mentioned in Muslim Ahmed by Maqil bin Yasar. He's the Rawi reporter. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. And it is mentioned in Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. We belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and we believe to read Quran Sharif, to make dua, to give charity, to make tawaf, to read Nafil Salat, all that is permissible and will help the deceased. Almighty Allah, through His infinite grace and mercy, will forgive them through His mercy, elevate their rank and status, so our actions will always be productive and effective, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mufti Saab, this person wants to know, if they have a catheter bag for passing urine, how does one make wudu?
Remember that, my brother, sister, that if you have the catheter and you are classified as a ma'zur, because what will happen is you don't even know sometimes when you are passing the urine and relieving yourself and so forth. So in that case there, that if you can manage the wudu, so you perform the wudu whilst the catheter is on as well. And remember that if you cannot manage the wudu, then you make the tayammum, and that is you keep a brick or some sand or what have you, and thereafter you make intention of the tayammum. You strike your palms on the sand or on the brick, and thereafter you make masa and rub your face once. Again you strike the sand or the brick, and then you make masa of your hands, including the elbows, and that is your tayammum, ablution with sand. And in that way you continue your salat and everything else. So people who are ma'azur, only for them, not for people like us. Alhamdulillah, Almighty Allah gave us iman, health, wealth, everything with Allah's fadl, grace and mercy. Hada min fadli rabbi. So for people who have these type of problems, a lady is mustahada, she has leaking, you know, bleeding, spotting problems. The male has plumbing problems, that he is, you know, urine and what have you. So in cases like this, we will say that for every first salat, just now 4 o'clock, 4:30, when is asr time, so you make a fresh wudu. When the sun sets, Maghrib Adhan goes, then you make a fresh wudu for Maghrib. Then Isha time, 7:30, 8 o'clock, you make a fresh wudu. This is not for people who are normal. These are for people who are ma'azurin, who have some valid excuses. So people who have catheter and so forth, they fall in that category of a ma'azur. And therefore, remember, that law will apply to you.
Mufti Saab, our very next question, is it permissible to use the mouthwash that contains alcohol?
Any type of alcohol that you're going to use internally, so when you're going to use it in your mouth, you're going to use it anywhere else, so all that would be haram and so forth, because there's no real need for it. It's not something, if you don't use it, then your life is threatened, or it's not matter of life and death. So there are so many alternatives you can use. So therefore, our verdict and fatwa will be, it is not permissible. Yes, if a person now uses this perfume and what have you, sometimes you find that this perfume, it contains alcohol, and you apply it on your clothing, you apply it on your body. So according to the fatwa and the verdict that is permissible, Mufti Taqi Usmani Hafidhahullah, one of the great ulama in Pakistan, mashallah, he's still living there in Karachi, and he has written Takmila Fathil Mulhim, the commentary of Sahih Muslim, and you find that there in the third volume, a wonderful academic discussion on this very issue. So if it's internal, so in our mouth and so forth, not permissible. But external, so that would be acceptable. Yes, if it is life-threatening and is matter of life and death, then obviously things are different. But normal circumstances, like mouthwash and so forth, not permissible.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, yeh sawal to Urdu mein hai. Kaise pata chale ki hamari toba kabool hui hai?
MashaAllah, Hafiz Sahab, aapne to bahut behtareen par Urdu ki tilawat ki, MashaAllah. Hafiz Sahab read that Urdu very, very well. Aapko kaise pata ho ki aapke jo hai tauba Allah Ta'ala ne kabool farmaya? Aadmi ko jo hai aadat hai chori ki, aadmi ko jo hai aadat hai film dekhne ki, koi bhi haram cheez, aur phir us aadmi ne sachche dil se jo hai tauba ki, ab us kaam nahi kar rahe aur aainda bhi inshaallah nahi karenge, to ye alamat hai ke Allah Jalla Wala ne iski tauba ko kabool ki. The question posed in Urdu, maybe from India, Pakistan or wherever, is how does one know that our tawbah, our repentance is accepted? We just returned from Hajj, mashallah, with the grace, mercy of Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. So in a case like that, how do we know? Today people are involved in riba and interest. People are involved in adultery, fornication. People involved in drugs and alcohol. You can make 100 examples. That person now realization comes to him or her. They detach themselves from that evil vices and sin. They are not doing it now, and inshallah they will not go back to it in the future. So that is the sign that that person's tawbah is accepted. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ. Almighty Allah expunges the vices and the sins and evil and replaces it with the virtue. Who will do that? Nobody. But this is Almighty Allah. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِيَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy encompasses everything. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, encapsulating this and elaborating on this, said, At-ta'ibu min al-zambi kamalla zambala. When a person really repents, such a dil se pakka sa tawba ki, that person really cried, begged, beseech Almighty Allah, and he's showing it that, Ya Allah, I'm not going back to that born and that vices. So it is like a person who never perpetrated, committed that sin at all. The hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So therefore Almighty Allah has made tawbah and repentance compulsory upon each one of us who's living. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Surah 24 verse 31. So see Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informing us that each one of us needs to make sincere tawbah and beg Almighty Allah. Istighfar is for the past. Tawbah is for the future. There must not be any relapse, and we don't go back to the vices.
JazakAllah khair, Mufti Sahib. Mufti Sahib, is there a specific way of holding the miswak and using it, and must you keep it vertical or horizontal when it's on the sink or so on?
Remember that there are several issues here. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, and you will find it in Mishkat Sharif, you will find it in Mustad Ahmad. There are chapters, remember, regarding miswak in various hadith compilations. I'll just mention few of them. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Lawla ana shukka la ummati la amartum bi siwaki inda kulli salatin. Had it not been difficult for my ummah, I would have made it mandatory, compulsory, obligatory, that at the time of salat, you must use the miswak. So it shows it is sunnah before salat that you use the miswak. If you study the imams of the Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, you will see many a time when they come out from the hatim, then they still making miswak to perform the first salat. So that is sunnah, especially according to Shafis, Hanbalis, Malikis and so forth. And you find that according to the Hanafis, before the hudu, during the hudu, لَوْلَا أَنَا شُقَّ لَا أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ إِنَّ كُلِّ هُدُوءٍ. So both times is sunnah. Hanafis place more emphasis during the hudu or before hudu, and the Shafis, Ambalis and them, there before the salat. So that's one issue. The manner, method of using the miswak, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَاسْتَاكُوا arda. Arda means you take the miswak preferably in the right hand. كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ يُحِبُّ التَّيَمُّنَ فِي شَانِي كُلِّ فِي تَرَجُّلِهِ وَتَطَهُّرِهِ. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam would prefer the right hand when combing the hair mubarak, when making taharat, meaning that making wudu and ghusl and so forth. So miswak also better with the right hand. And then you do so horizontally and not vertically, and that will be the best. And when the miswak is not in use, then you leave it on the zinc, or you place it in a cup or bottle or something, and then you keep it standing. So that will be the most hygienic way, and every person should use their own miswak. Yes, husband, wife share the miswak, so there's no problem. In Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's last moments, Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, softened the miswak. Her saliva was still stuck to the miswak. She handed it over to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the miswak. She counted that as one of her manaqib and fadail, that even at that point, my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saliva mubarak and my saliva, Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha saliva, was joined together. And then the demise of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place. So imagine what great points, lessons we learn from all this year.
Mufti Sahib, next question is the word Ahlul Bayt from the Quran Kareem, and what does it mean?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned Ahlul Bayt in Surah 33, verse 33. So if you want the verse, Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 33, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ أَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. I mentioned it yesterday, the previous day, in my various lectures, and inshallah our lectures are mentioned or are recorded and already inserted in our website. Go to our various websites, inshallah, www.markazsahaba.com and Mufti A.K. Hussain, AKHOOSEN.net, and you will find it, inshallah. Let's give you 3 points regarding this. The word Ahl al-Bayt, Ahlul Bayt, is mentioned thrice in the Noble Quran. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam's one wife, Sayyida Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anha, gave birth to Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam. Then we find that Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha, she was the first wife, but she was barren till that point, did not have children, and lo and behold, now the malaika, the angels, are giving her the glad tidings that she will also give birth. So she was very, very amazed and surprised. Atajabin, that are you amazed with the command of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, that rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahl al bayt, that oh you Sayyida Sara radiallahu anha, oh Ahl al-Bayt, oh Almighty Allah is giving great tidings that you also will give birth. So yeah, the wife of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is called Ahl al-Bayt. Surah number 11, Surah Hud, and verse number 73. Likewise, we see in the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, We know that Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam's time, where Pharaoh was killing the children, the boys especially, so Almighty Allah made arrangements that for Alqihi fil Bahr, that put him there in the ocean, and Almighty Allah will take care of him, of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. And now, when all this is happening, he was picked up by who? By Sayyida Asiya radiallahu anha, the wife of the Pharaoh. And she fell in love with this baby, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. Everybody wanted to breastfeed him, but he's not accepting it. The mother of Nabi Musa alayhi salam sent the daughter, meaning the sister of Nabi Musa alayhi salam, go and see what is happening. So she told them that I will take this baby and show you who will give breastfeed the baby. Hal adullukum ala ahli bayti yakfulunahu lakum wa hum lahu nasihun. So this is in Surah chapter 28, Surah Qasas, and verse number 12. Chapter 28, verse 12. So Ahlul Bayt, Ahl Bayt is mentioned three times in the Noble Quran, referring to the wife, referring to the mother. So we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, say that it refers to the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to the honorable children of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It refers to the grandchildren like Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu as well, and other grandchildren as well. Secondly, we must remember, if you study it from a philology or linguistics perspective, then Ahlul Bayt, what you will call Ahlul Bayt? Ahlul Bayt is liman ta'ahala bihi, people who are loving with you, staying with you. So who loves? So the wives are normally the children and grandchildren. So that is what is meant. Another word we read, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad. Imam Malik rahimahullah is Imam Udar al-Hijra, the genius of Medina Munawwara. The children, grandchildren of the Muhajirin, the migrants, and the Ansar, the assistants and the helpers come to him. Oh Malik, you are the genius of Medina Munawwara, the jurist par excellence. Show us who, and who does it refer to, this word, Alun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik rahimahullah said, let us read the Quran Sharif, Surah 40, Surah 40, chapter 40, verse 46. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala speaks about the Pharaoh and how he and his cronies will be dispatched to Jahannam. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ وَأَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. So on the day of justice, the Ali Fir'aun, Pharaoh, his cronies, followers, all dispatched straight to Jahannam and the hellfire. He, Imam Malik, applied the law of analogy and qiyas and said, if Ali Fir'aun refers to Manittaba'a Fir'aun, the people who followed the Pharaoh, then Alun Nabi, we take the greater import and connotation and meaning, Kullu Manittaba'a Nabi al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everyone who follows Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either directly, indirectly, we will also be included. So Ahlul Bayt, Alun Nabi, refers to the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family who are Muslim, the honorable wives, children, grandchildren, and ordinary mortals like us can also be included indirectly, provided that we live with Iman and Islam, we die with it, and in our life we imitated, emulated the life history of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a wonderful, beautiful answer and response by Imam Malik rahimahullah.
JazakAllah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. That brings us now to 14:32. It's time for a break, but before that, just a reminder, the Q&A will continue until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, this evening, Sunday, as Mufti Sahib is going to be delivering the lecture at the Mirbank Masjid after Isha Salah. That's going to be the program by Mufti Sahib this evening. Tomorrow evening, Mufti Sahib will be delivering the lecture at the Avondale Musalla immediately after the Maghrib Salah tomorrow. And remember, tomorrow night, once again, it's going to be the Q&A from 8 to 10 as well. But for tonight, at the Mirbank Masjid, Mufti Sahib is going to be there. Also, a reminder, decoders available at the Al Ansar Book and Media Center, as well as at IG Hussein. That's right here in Brickfield Road. And after the break, we continue with the program.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3131. 3-2.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program live from the Al Ansar Foundation. That's 207 West Road, Overport, Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. We're very honored that we have with us in studio Mufti Sahib, Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib, Hafizahullah, who is the ustaz of many ulama that have graduated and are serving the communities locally, nationally, as well as internationally. Mufti Sahib, our very next question that has come in wanting to know what was the age of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu at the time when Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred.
Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's honorable parents are Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The nikah took place in Ramadan, as mentioned in Musannaf Abdul Razak, a hadith compilation, in the second year of the Hijrah. Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu's milad mubarak honorable birth took place in the third year of the Hijrah, and in the fourth year of the Hijrah, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu's honorable milad mubarak took place. Then it was Friday, day of Ashura, the year 61, and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda was martyred in Maidan-e-Karbala. I've been to Maidan-e-Karbala in 2000, Iraq, and so forth. So nevertheless, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was 57 years old. If you work it, 56 and a half and so forth, if you want to be really precise. So you just say approximately 57 and years old. Here I want to show the listeners one important point which many a time is overlooked. When the Master Habibuna Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's demise took place, these two brothers, Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, in Arabic we say Sibtu Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the beloved Nawasa and grandsons of Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Bisharat and glad tidings, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi. Innal Hassan wal Hussein Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah. They are the leaders of the youth in Jannah. But despite that, when Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise took place, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was 8 years old, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was 7 years old. But go and study the works of hadith and you will find, when we count the ahadith that were mentioned and narrated by the beloved Nawasa and grandchildren, grandsons of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu reported 13 ahadith and Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu 8 ahadith. From who? Directly from Nana Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is, they received the hadith from the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we belong to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Our children, our grandchildren, at that tender age, how many of them even know 1, 2, 4, 5 ahadith? So that is what we need to instill and inculcate within our children and grandchildren. Allah give us tawfiq.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, are we allowed to do a permanent tattoo using a razor?
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informed us in the noble Quran, when the shaitan was expelled from Jannah, when you translate the Quran Sharif, you must always exercise caution. When we speak of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, Sayyida Hawa radiallahu anha, Hawa, H-A-W-W-A, they were transferred from Jannah onto this earth. For Iblis and Shaitan, we say when he was expelled from Jannah, because it was an act of defiance, an act of arrogance and pride. Aba wa stakbara. Quran Kareem has mentioned it various places. So he, the Iblis Shaitan, remember when he was expelled, he took various oaths and qasam, and he said, as enshrined in the noble Quran, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 119. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. I will command them, these human beings who are supposed to be the slaves of Allah, the masterpiece of Almighty Allah's creation, and they will change the creation of Allah. Look at it today. People don't even know their gender properly. They're male or female, or they germakar, mix up people. You see at certain airports that I visited in different parts of the world, they have male, they have female, and then in between they got their all genders or what have you. So that is for the bathrooms and restroom and so forth. So you see that this is how people fall in the trap of the shaitan, the honey trap. And what happens here is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborated, La anallahu al-washima wal-mustoshima, authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. The people who do the tattooing, so they are cursed by Almighty Allah. Who, upon whom the tattooing is done, the tattooed person, so he also is cursed by Almighty Allah, and that entire income is totally haram and unacceptable. So therefore in Islam, tattooing not permissible at all.
Mufti Sahib, this person wants to know about the Baytul Mal during the time of the Salaf. Where did the money and goods come from? Was it zakat, dillah, sadaqah, spoils of war, jizya and other taxes? And how was the funds of the coffers disposed of, Mufti Sahib?
Remember that in Islam, when you study the time of Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr's time, Sayyidina Umar's time especially, then they were different portfolios, let's use the word, that when the Muslim army was victorious, then you had the Mal-e-Ghanimat, the spoils of war. And that 80% would go to the Mujahideen, those who participated when the Muslims were victorious, because they were dicing with death. 20% would go to the public treasury, and that would be used to empower the people, yatama, masakin, wabni sabil, the orphans, the poor, the needy, the travelers, the wayfarers. So that is the booty, the spoils of war. Then you had another portfolio, zakat, that was to empower the poor Muslims, male and female. Then you had another one, and that is voluntary charity, lillah and sadaqah and all these type of things. So that they could build their roads, they could build their bridges, they could use it for the establishment of masjids and so forth, wages. So in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and already we find, we can prove that certain judges and all of them were being paid and so forth. So it shows that, remember, there was a unique system. Today we speak about pension. Who introduced pension? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who saw non-Muslims, and they were really difficult times for them. They were just eking out a living, and that person complained. He did not know he's speaking to Sayyidina Umar is old. He said, Umar took from us, non-Muslim. He said, Umar took from us taxes, the jizya, whilst we were earning. And now when we in our old age, we don't receive any stipends, anything. Sayyidina Umar said, his haq, what he said. We, the government, have to ensure our senior citizens who have no income must be given some stipends and certain pension and amount. That is how the awliyat and the reforms brought by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu came into existence. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lokana Nabi Ambadi Lakana Umar. Hypothetically, for argument's sake, if there was a Nabi after me, it would have been Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Inna Allah yantaliqul haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi. From the heart and the tongue, the truth flows, that comes out from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. All these ahadith you will find in Mishkat Sharif. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, all well documented. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, O people of South Africa, Africa, mention this to the world and show the world what Islam has done. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the most beloved, the most precious to Almighty Allah Jalla wala. And the muazzin of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Bilal, on the occasion of conquest of Makkah, standing on top of the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, rendering the adhan. And open Shama'il Tirmidhi. The master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing Bilal, his minister of finance. Sayyidina Bilal was the minister of finance. If you go to Damascus even today, and Babu Sagir, both muazzins of Medina Munawwara, one Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, one Sayyidina Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, the blind Sahabi, Abasa wa Tawalla and Jahul A'ma, both muazzin of Masjid Nabawi, both buried in the same graveyard in Damascus in Babu Sagir. I went there and we made dua also. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, for Sayyidina Bilal, his minister of finance, anfiq ya Bilal, wa la takhsha min dhil arshi iqlal. Spend, O Bilal, do not fear from Allah who controls the entire arsh and every creation. The unlimited treasure of Allah will never decrease when we spend in the path of Allah for the love of Allah. Imagine, so this is what Islam does. Today you see, by and large, 90%, 60%, 70%, people who are politicians, governments, they enrich themselves and the people are suffering. In Islam, it's the other way around. You empower the poor, the needy, the masses, and you are leading a very, very simple life, and that is what Islam teaches.
Jazakallah khair for that, Mufti Sahib. Our next question: must we buy things for Ashura for children who are living on their own with their children, Mufti Sahib?
There's no such thing that you must. Remember that sometimes people go to another extreme. You want to buy something for your children who are married. You want to buy something for your grandchildren, although they are not living with you, but they are living with their own parents. So that's fine. But we must not make it compulsory, or we must not think that we have to give gifts on Ashura. The problem today is that this whole Ashura now has become commercialized. The shops are advertising, people are advertising Ashura gift and so forth and so on. Gift I can give you today, you can give me tomorrow, anytime. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tahadu tahabu. Give gifts to one another, it will generate mutual love. Fa innal hadiyata tuzhibu dhagain. That when you give a gift to one another, it removes the malice, the rancor, the hatred, the misunderstanding, the hadith in Bayhaqi. So don't wait for Ashura night, Monday night or Tuesday. Today also, tomorrow morning also you can do it. Oh, hubby, tell your honey, oh, honey, take the money. So you make your wife happy, you make your children happy and so forth. Sometimes people, because of the economic downturn, they are really poor. So they say that where can we afford this? Go to your wife, go to your children, give them a hug, kiss them and show them the true love. That is better and greater than the money you can give them. Where they feel loved, where they feel wanted, and they are not neglected by their spouses or by their parents. So in Islam, there are many, many ways of spending as well.
Mufti Sahib, the next question. Both these people, the male and female, they're of mature age, 30 plus. They would like to know, are you allowed to talk to a girl regarding marriage? Can you email, WhatsApp, talk over the phone? Is this permissible, Mufti Sahib?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in the noble Quran, Islam wants a pure and a chaste system. Wala taqrabu zina. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. So now you are not married, you got nothing to do with one another, you are strangers, and now you start WhatsApping, then you start sending SMS, then you exchange numbers, then you want to meet for coffee. This coffee turns out to be a very hot coffee. So remember, then one thing leads to another, and then they have a tri-ball. You know what's a tri-ball? When we were very, very young, before the match starts, so we used to play cricket. So they say, just now, let's give one ball to the person, and he bowls it. So if you go out, you're not out. So sometimes they're trying already before the nikah and everything. So Almighty Allah has condemned all this in Surah 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 32. So Almighty Allah has made this very, very clear. In Islam, all this is not allowed. Just today or last night, I gave advice to somebody who asked me a question. I said, what are you waiting for? Get married now, immediately in Muharram, and do not procrastinate at the swifu min shaitan. This delaying is from shaitan. So what we need to do is this. You are 30, 31, 32. So you are not so young now. So what are you wasting time? You don't have to make so many days istikhara, and you don't have to delay. Just have a small function and get married. Inna a'adaman nikahi barakah aysaruhu ma'una. The best nikah, as far as barakah and blessing goes, is where there is the least expenditure incurred. The hadith is mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. So that is what Islam is teaching us.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti Saab. A 17-year-old boy who has passed on, he inherited from both his parents who also passed away. He has two sisters. His mother's brother is claiming his inheritance. Is this correct?
No, it's incorrect. Remember you, the mamaji, the brother, that's brother there, the youngster who passed away. So you are his mother's brother. So it means you are the mamaji, as we call the maternal uncle. The maternal uncle will not inherit in this case here. What will happen is, this youngster here does not have wife, he doesn't have children, his parents have passed on, but he's got two sisters. So in a case like that, the two sisters will inherit two-thirds. What will happen to the residue, the one-third? So that will go to the father's brothers, if there are no nephews and so forth from his brothers, you know, and or there are no brothers, no children, then it will go to the father's brothers, the chacha, the kaka, the paternal uncle. They can put a claim. Or the if he has brothers and they passed away before him, so if they have children, the sons, so they can make a claim. But you're out of the picture. The mamaji, you've got no claim on this estate here. So people just want to collect. In Afrikaans we say. So it means somebody dies, they just want to collect the budal. No, in Islam we have a system. Islam, we fulfill our duty with beauty. I pass away, you die, you pass away, I die. Whatever the case is, first is burial, funeral expenses from the estate of the deceased. If somebody, friend or friend, family wants to pay, it's fine, there's no problem. Second is the debts of the deceased. Personal debts, corporate debts, business debts, everything must be paid to the creditors. Third one is wasiya, where you bequeath to non-heirs. It can be a person, it can be an organization. You bequeath now, for example, now you got 90,000, so you can bequeath up to 30,000, so there's maximum one-third. So you say 10,000 for Radio Al-Ansar, you say 10,000 for Sirius FM, you say 10,000 for Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Obviously, these are examples I'm giving. So that is how wasiya will work, where you bequeath for non-heirs, a person or an organization. And the fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So in this case here, the way the question is posed, that mamaji, that her mother's brother, he will be disqualified and have no claim in the estate.
Jazakallah khair, Mufti Saab. The sister wants to know her qada for Ramadan. Can she keep that on the 9th or 10th of Muharram?
MashaAllah, tomorrow, Monday, is the 9th, and Tuesday will be the 10th. So we all should try and fast tomorrow and Tuesday. If we cannot manage, then Tuesday, Wednesday. So in that way there, we will reap the great, great reward, which Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in his authentic hadith. أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّكَفِّرَ سَنَةُ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا. The previous year's sins will be forgiven. The hadith in Tirmidhi, the hadith in Sahih Muslim, yukaffiru sanat al-lati qablaha, or yukaffiru sanat al-lati al-madiya. So all these are hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Muslim Sharif, and Tirmidhi. So 1 year's sins will be forgiven when we keep the fast of Ashura. But we don't want to imitate the Jews. They have Yom Kippur and so forth. So we keep 2 days. We keep Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday. And if you keep all 3 days, that will be Nurun ala Nur. So that will be excellent. However, that we should not try and short-circuit the system and say, tomorrow, Monday, or Tuesday, that I am fasting, I'm making intention for qaza. I must certain fast during Ramadan, and which was obligatory, mandatory, and now I'm making qada intention and Ashura intention. According to majority scholars, that is not permissible. When you make intention for qada, it must be qada only, not you include other nafil or sunnat fast. So my advice to you will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it is, so you keep the Ashura fast. And the other days of Muharram, you keep the qada fast. So in that way, you took both sides the best. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ السِّيَامِ بَعْدَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ. The best fast to keep in the 11 months. Obviously, Ramadan is compulsory. So the 11 months after Ramadan is Shahrullah, the month of Allah, Muharram. So keep your qada during those days. And during these days of Ashura, you keep the sunnat fast. Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday, or all 3 days, mashallah.
JazakAllah khair. Mufti Sahib, how many days did the hijrah take? Please enlighten us.
Remember that the normal journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara was 10 days. If you study Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Hajjatul Wida, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam left on the 25th of Zulqa'dah, the 10th year of the Hijrah, and entered on the 4th of Zilhijjah. So similarly, from Makkah to Madinah would take 10 days. But the Hijrah took almost 2 weeks, because Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and spent 3 nights in Ghar Thawr. Almighty Allah alludes and refers to this great historic momentous incident in Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, verse number 40. ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala went and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let me clean the cave. He cleaned the cave, he tore his clothing to close the crevices and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please enter. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was exhausted as well. The enemies had a bounty and yaqtuluka o yukhrijuka. So, o yuthbituka o yaqtuluka o yukhrijuka. They made a plain Quran Sharif stage. The non-Muslims, the Quraysh and the Mushrikeen and the idol worshippers in Makkah. Either they wanted to arrest Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Allah forbid to assassinate the Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to send Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in exile. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, "You sleep in my house, and I'm leaving with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an." They even made muhasara and surrounded the manzil mubarak, the house mubarak of the master Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the dust and the sand and threw it in their direction. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. And they did not even realize. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the home Mubarak, and 3 nights were spent there. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu takes up the incident. Open Mishkat Sharif, you will find the details. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was resting, and something from there in the cave, because 2 crevices were still open, he placed his right foot and left foot there. Something from inside started stinging Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He was tearing and crying. His tears fell on the Mubarak countenance and the face Mubarak of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awoke. Ma yubkika ya Aba Bakrin, why are you crying? He related the story. This, O Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is ishq and muhabbah and adab and ta'zeem. He did not move. He showed his love. Allah refers to this incident. So therefore, their journey took 13, 14 days because 3 nights were spent there in Ghar Thawr. But a normal journey would take 10 days from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwarah, or from Madinah to Makkah Mukarramah.
JazakAllah khair for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. That brings us now to 14:59. Well, it's time for our break. But before that, once again, just a reminder to you, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar, Markaz Sahab, as well as Sirius FM, that this evening you'll be listening to Mufti Sahib's discourse or lecture that's going to be delivered at the Mirbank Masjid after Isha Salah. And then tomorrow, Mufti Sahib's program is going to be at the Avondale Musalla after Maghrib Salah. So these are the last two programs for Mufti Sahib for this particular tour. That's the Muharram tour. And already, inshallah, we're already working on the tour that's going to be for Rabiul Awal or for the Seerah tour. We continue with the Q&A shortly after this.
This is Q&A. Send us your question on 084-786-3132.